Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Science Faction, the only show where a scientist, a comedian, and a comedian scientist come together to discuss science comedically.
Hello, and welcome to Science Faction 469. Science Faction, your coronavirus update. The numbers are as follows for today, Sunday, August 2nd, 2020. Worldwide infections stand at 18.1 million. U.S. infections at 4.8 million. Worldwide deaths stand at 691,000. U.S. deaths 158,000. Same caveats as always with those, but more specifically, we always say, you know, there's more people dying than are being tested, and there's more people who have it than are being tested, so both those numbers are bigger. Specifically within the United States in the past few weeks, we are seeing artificially low infection rates because we have ramped down testing. For those of you guys who are outside of the United States and hearing this and wondering why the fuck would you guys in the middle of a pandemic ramp down testing, let's just say it rhymes with re-election and it's coming up in November. And there is a feeling from some people in power that the lower those numbers are, the better it is for their re-election. And so therefore we are not testing. It is not a science-based decision. It is a political one. So let's get on with the week's corona news. So first one, as we just talked about, we have been fucking with the testing here in the U.S. Reported infection rates in the U.S. are falling, but not necessarily because it's matching the actual infection rate. In fact, even in areas where we know the infection rates are rising, the reported infection rates are falling because of these huge rollbacks of testing. The CDC is actually expecting the next 30 days to be pretty bad for the United States. They think we're going to lose about 1,000 people a day for the next 30 days. And while that's nowhere near our peak death rate, that will be a really hard continual rate to have hit us over and over again. Certain places it seems to be accelerating, even places where it was kind of waning a little bit before. Now it seems to have gotten a kick and it's re-accelerating. Places like Alabama, Kentucky, New Jersey, Tennessee, Washington. We are looking at a decent fatality rate, probably in the 180s in a few weeks, and that is terrifying. You know, this is slowly becoming one of the largest causes of death in the United States, and when we compare it to other countries, places like New Zealand who have essentially kicked it out, it is pretty hard to deal with. And I know a lot of you go, oh, well, you're not New Zealand. It's different there. I know, as we talked about before, let's look at Taiwan and Tokyo, places that are denser populations than we are. And guess what? Very little deaths. Do you know why? Because everybody's respectful and wears a fucking mask, and we cannot figure it out in this country. It's getting really frustrating to watch science be politicized in this way. Obviously, we've seen it happen from creationism to climate change, and maybe we should have been more pissed about it with climate change, and it was just because the effects weren't so soon that we let it ride. But right now, it's just hard to watch literally 1,000 Americans die every single day, not because they have to, not because it's unavoidable, but because cable news networks need to make money and politicizing scientific issues allows them to sell more ad space. It's just fucking disgusting. And unfortunately, I'm sorry to the world, to those of you who live outside of the United States, for whatever it is we export to the rest of you that is like that as well. All right, article number two. We might have to walk back that great news the other week about kids not transmitting the disease really well. Now, remember, we talked about this. We talked about a bunch of instances in which children were not transmitting the disease and did not seem to be passing around. We thought this was great news. Not only does this take away a huge vector for transmission, it brings up the possibility of schools being opened if done so safely. Like, all this stuff. It looked really good, really promising data. If I'd be damned if more and more info that's coming out doesn't seem to say that we were a bit too optimistic about that. Two big child outbreaks that were recently reported, one in Israel. They had a recent heat wave that came through there, and the teachers allowed the kids who were still in school to take their masks off. They had a big outbreak. The second one is in the United States, in Georgia, shitty state, not the shitty country, where close to 600 residents who attended a summer camp, kids who attended a summer camp, were tested and showed that 344 of them tested positive, 76%. That is horrible. Like, this one was actually, they did it decently well. They had to show that the kid was tested negative within 12 days of starting summer camp, and the staff wore masks and stuff. Again, they were still, I think it's a lot of them were based on the idea that kids couldn't transmit very well. God damn, did it translate. And some of those might not even be the full numbers because not everybody agreed to be tested. So if we have a 76% positive rate in a group of kids that are going around in a camp and we might not even have all the positives, guess what? Kids can transmit it and transmit it really well. This is devastating news for anybody who thought that this might get us out of the whole school situation in the fall or just help us out lowering mortality numbers in terms of who can transmit and who can't. Obviously, in a summer camp, they're sharing quarters and they're in close spaces and they're breathing heavy and screaming and yelling and they're really close to each other. So maybe these are special cases. But in reality, what we're seeing is this mythos of the invulnerable child to this disease is just not true. In fact, some of these kids, not only were they transmitted well, but the reason they figured out about the infection is somebody got so sick they had to go home. And again, these are kids. Now, this does not solve the mystery as to why we thought before they were so bad at transmitting the virus. Clearly, something's going on where some kids are not transmitting it. We talked about that one kid who went to school and he went on a ski vacation. He did all this stuff, didn't transmit it to one other person. You know, we've talked before about some instances in schools where one kid will have it and will not transmit it. We need to figure out what's going on there. This new information doesn't get rid of that. All it tells us is we have to figure out why it was the case for those instances and not the case for these. And that might actually lead us to an answer of how to get diminished transmission. So for instance, if we find out that the reason that one kid who went on the ski vacation wasn't transmitting it to all the other kids around was because he was drinking a lot of high C, this is a scientific theory I have, and high C was boosting his immune system, well then great, we figured out how to keep kids from transmitting it. Now the high C corporation can make a lot of money. It's a win-win, right? This might lead us to some new way to fight this disease because we are finding these natural reservoirs of people who have some kind of inherent immunity. That might be something we find later. But for right now, the news was really devastating to see these come around because I was very optimistic about that story the other week. Article number 3, holy shit, it's in our fucking hearts. Now, if you thought I was going to get to the optimistic side of the show at this point, I imagine you should just turn it off because it's about to get a lot worse. So a new study out of Germany suggests that symptomatic patients that recover from COVID may have long-term heart damage, and not a small percentage of them. So they looked at about 100 adults from the ages of 45 to 53 in Germany who had had COVID-19. Some of them had been hospitalized, some of them were just able to get better at home, but they all had symptoms. They then took an MRI scan of their chest a couple months later, and 75% of the patients had heart abnormalities, which is terrifying. 75% of patients after recovery showed heart damage. And again, a lot of times, if this is going on worldwide, we're not knowing because most people aren't getting heart MRIs. The vast, vast majority of people who are getting these infections aren't getting heart MRIs, especially if they didn't have a very bad infection. That might mean that all these people who get mild infections or maybe even asymptomatic infections actually are having very serious damage to their organs. We've already seen some of this before with some of the lung stuff. Right now, we've seen inflammation of the heart muscle and a protein in the bloodstream called troponin, which basically, it's a way we can tell if people have had heart attacks and stuff. It indicates injury to the heart. So basically, what we're seeing is those people who are recovered aren't actually recovered. I mean, they recovered from the illness itself, but they still have heart damage. That heart damage might end up being permanent. We don't know yet. It might be long term. It might kill them down the road. This is terrifying because this can mean that even if we beat this disease soon, we get a vaccine out, everybody is completely COVID free by January 21st, 2021. Even in that ideal scenario, we might have this disease haunting us in terms of excess heart-related fatalities for generations. You know, kids who caught this at 3 years old in 2020, you know, might be having heart attacks because of it in 2055. Hopefully this isn't long-term damage. We're going to need extensive studies to see if it is, but it might be that we've spent this whole time worrying about getting through the virus itself, when really the real thing is to not catch it, because even getting through it doesn't mean you've gotten through it. Really scary stuff, and especially because we're not talking about 5% of people. We're not talking about 3%. In the sample looked at, 75%. Lastly, one interesting problem that's about to surface in China, not enough COVID patients. You might ask why that is. So keep in mind, because this disease started in China, and China does have a pretty booming biomedical field, they're a bit ahead of us on the vaccines. They have about a half a dozen in clinical trials. I think we just entered our third. But they're also going to run into a problem soon, which is they're coming up to the phase of clinical trials where you're going to need like many, we're talking about tens of thousands of infected people. And China doesn't really have that as much right now. Like, their infections are waning. They're doing a pretty good job of taking care of everything. They might not have enough people to completely fill up those trials, in which case, guess who they're coming to? Big Daddy America, with our almost 5 million cases. Come on over, China. Come get what America's got. We don't build products anymore, but we build sick people and we'll sell them to you. That's for goddamn sure. So maybe this whole America screwing up its system to the extent that's killing hundreds of thousands of people will turn out to be a slightly good thing in at least one narrow little way. All right, thank you for joining me for Science Faction 469, where you learned all about how the U.S. is fucking with its testing numbers, how kids can still transmit the disease well, how it's destroying the hearts of people even after they've recovered, and how the Chinese might come crawling to Big Daddy USA for all of our sweet, sweet COVID patients. Thank you for joining me, and come on back later this week for Science Faction 470.
You've been listening to Science Faction. Wait, that's not right.